Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Now, I'm a Tennessean, native-born Tennessean. I know. The greatest weekend of my life was the third weekend in October. That was the weekend we played Alabama. And back when Coach Bear was still among us, my daddy loved Alabama, except the third weekend in October, because that's when Tennessee played him, and we never could seem to beat him. And so many a Saturday, my dad would sit outside in the old Oldsmobile, the door open, that big AM radio on, because we didn't have anything on TV. And we're listening to Alabama-Tennessee football game, and he'd get so excited because this could be the day we finally beat Alabama. But it never was. Anyhow, God bless you. I'm glad to be here. I teach on a family. My dad and mom are really good people. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters. My mom had 5 brothers and sisters. My father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. My mother-in-law's got 5 brothers and sisters. Denise and I come from really big families. People would ask us sometimes, said, are y'all Catholic? I said, no. I said, were you Mormon? I said, no. Why are you asking that? Well, why do you have so many kids? I said, well, my family had a lot of kids because they were mining families. And my grandparents, I asked them how they come had so many kids. He said, to put them to work. You know, we were poor. And when you're poor, you got to have kids, put them to work. And so somebody asked us one time, because we've got 6, we've got 5 girls and a boy. And we asked God for 5, and God does above and beyond all you ask or think. So we got 6. And having 6 kids won't make you holy, famous, or righteous. It'll make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do with them once they show up. And so I was working in the electrical industry. God had been real good to me, and I was working as an engineer, and I was what they call a manufacturing engineer, a process engineer. I get hired by companies to come in and do 2 things. Number one, make sure they're not lying about what they're doing, that whatever that box says, if you go down to a Lowe's warehouse or Home Depot, if that box says that thing does that, I'm the guy to better make sure it better be doing it. But then number two, I have 1 year to make that better, whatever it is they're making. My job is to improve the process. Improve the manufacturing process, improve the product. If I don't improve it, I lose my job. That was my job. I got paid to make things better. And so I did that for 12 years. Then God called us into the ministry, and we went to Tulsa to go back to school again and go to a Bible school. Got a job as a children's pastor at a local church. We weren't sure what we were doing. It was back in the 70s, and church was exploding. We went from nothing to 3,000 in 3 years. We didn't even know why they were showing up. People said, did you have a busing program? I said, yes, we did. We had 3 buses. We bused people away from the church. We had no room for the kids, so we would bus them 2 miles down the road to a shopping center we'd rented out. It was just one of those crazy times. And so on staff, you know, I was on staff, and we would counsel Monday through Friday. We're doing counseling. And so we realized that church was just growing like crazy. People are coming out of the woodwork, getting born again, spirit-filled. We got miracles. We got healings, testimonies. We're going on mission trips. But between Monday and Friday at church, we would counsel our people, you know, our people. And we realized that our people were going through hell. That it's like just incredible hell in their families, their marriages, their kids, their parenting skills. So we got a problem. We might be moving forward spiritually, but our back door of our house is open. The devil's stomping us into the dirt. What is wrong? And so I told Pastor, we need to start a class. We need a class on parenting. Evidently, we don't know what we're doing, because Tulsa's kind of an out-of-the-way place. Most people are from somewhere else. They weren't born there. And so... He said, well, start a class. I said, okay, I'll find somebody to teach parenting. So I found couples I thought had good families. I said, hey, would you come teach us on parenting Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, 5:50? No. Well, okay. Hey, would you come teach us on parenting Sunday evening? You seem to have good kids. We need to know something about parenting. Would you come teach us for an hour on Sunday evening? No. It took about 3 weeks before I began to ask questions. Why? Why won't you come teach us on parenting? You love your church. You go to church here. I've checked your records. You're a giver and a tither. You volunteer. You love God. Why won't you teach us? And they said, because we love our church. I said, what? Yeah, we love our church. We know what's going to happen. We'll come in there. We'll start teaching on parenting. Our kids will go stupid. We'll get embarrassed. We'll have to leave our church. We don't want to leave our church. You wait. I'm not making this up. This happened. And so they said, you wait until our kids grow up, leave home, move out of state, then we'll come teach you on parenting. So I went back and told the pastor, I said, it's hopeless. Nobody will do it. Well, it had been 6 weeks. He said, look, we've been advertising this for almost a month and a half, Joe. We got to start this next Sunday. You're going to teach it. I said, no, I'm not teaching. I've got two kids. I've already messed mine up. I'm coming to the class. I'm not going to teach the class. He said, no, you're going to teach it. He said, you come up with some titles, some classes, bring them to me on Monday. And I went home Sunday afternoon. I said, you're not going to believe this. I've got to teach parenting. My wife said, you got to be kidding. You don't know anything about parenting. I said, I know that. I know that. I'm not stupid. I'm an engineer. I said, but I got to teach it. I said, so what are you going to teach? I have no idea. I don't know anything. So I sat down with a pencil and piece of paper at the kitchen table, and I began to write down what I wanted to know. She said, what are you writing down? I'm going to write down, I've got to teach 48 weekends. So we take off 4 weekends, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Thanksgiving. I've got to come up with 48 classes. She said, what are you going to teach? I'm going to teach what I don't know. If I've got to teach it, you learn by teaching something. I've heard that. How do you learn? Teach it. So I'm going to teach what I don't know. So the first title of my first class is, where children come from. I want to know where babies come from. I knew biologically. I know where babies come from. I just didn't. What was God thinking? Man, we got a world down and going to hell. We're trying to reach people for Jesus. We can't do that. We got kids. They're tearing everything up, cost us money, chewing the corners off the end table, not flushing stuff they should, flushing stuff they shouldn't. I have to wait till I'm 60 before I can be a witness. So I began to have a title. So we started the first class. 17 parents showed up Sunday afternoon on, where babies come from. And I taught everything I knew, which took 20 minutes. I talked about what the world was saying about children, which wasn't anything good. The world hates kids. And then for the last 20 minutes, we did questions and answers. Now I realized that first class, everybody, half the psalm, half the hymn, half an opinion. And nobody in that first class quoted any scripture. And I knew the first class where the problem was. I think I found the problem. What is it? We're an ignorant people. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't have a clue what we're doing. We're doing what Better Homes and Gardens says, and Reader's Digest, and Grandma Moses. We don't have a clue what God said about family. Now, I'm going to give this to you. I do this with my kids every year. Bring my kids into the house because, I got 6 kids. I love them all dearly. My oldest is 32. She's a college professor. My youngest just turned 23. They're all born again, spirit filled in church. I don't have one perfect kid. I wish I did, but I don't because they didn't have any perfect parents. I get mad at my wife one time. I said, what's wrong with my kids? What's wrong with them? She said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you. You reproduce yourself good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. They're mouthy like you and they overreact like you. I said, oh, help me, Jesus, I got a problem. So anyhow, as we began to grow in God and learn some things, I thought, and so my kids came in. There was a lot of earthquakes out in Yellowstone just about 3 years ago, really bad. And it was on CNN 2 nights in a row, and they reported if these volcanoes explode in Yellowstone, which they did 2.1 million years ago. Now, I wasn't there, but somebody saw it and wrote about it because it supposedly happened. And if these volcanoes go off in Yellowstone, where it's a lot of earthquakes going on right now, even this week, it says 1/3 of the earth will be destroyed. And that was on CNN. I thought, well, that's fascinating. Well, my kids came by the office after work one day. Said, Dad, did you see the news? I said, about what? And he said, the earthquakes in Yellowstone. Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's fascinating. What do you think is going to happen? I said, what? What do you think is going to happen? I said, nothing. Well, no, they said 1/3 of the earth could be destroyed. I said, no. So I tell you what, I'm going to call and rent a Winnebago, and we're going to take a family vacation. We're just going to drive out there and see it. Get in the middle of it. And it just sort of messed up. I said, listen, guys, y'all are born again spirit filled. You go to a great church. You're not reading your Bible. You not know what's going on. We live in the greatest period of human history, and you're not aware of that. But if you're not reading the Bible, and all you're listening to is those 6 24-hour news channels, you're one messed up individual, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You're thinking stupid. Quit thinking stupid. You think stupid. I used to do this in counseling. You think stupid because you feed on stupid. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What are you feeding on? Stupid. Why? Because stupid just came out of your mouth. You feed on stupid, you'll think stupid. You think stupid, you talk stupid. You talk stupid, you are stupid. That's a whole degree in psychology right there. Why are you so stupid? You think that way. What do you need to do? Change your thinking. You're supposed to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. 3 John 2, Joshua 1, 8, Psalms 1. I am what I think about. Well, what are you thinking? Evidently, you're not thinking much because they're stupid coming out of your mouth. So anyhow, I brought the kids in. I thought I could do it one Thursday night, but it took several Thursday nights. I said, y'all come next Thursday night and bring your spouses and sit down here and let me explain it. So this is the short version. It took several Wednesdays or Thursdays, but I'll give you this. I'm going to read out of Jude. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm not less than King James. I just don't speak it. I speak modern English. So here in the book of Jude, I'm just going to jump into verse 14. It says, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about people in the last days. He's talking about what's going on in the last days. He said, well, he prophesied. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He's going to convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, the insults that they've spoken against him. These people, who's he talking about? People in the world. They're grumblers and complainers. I made a list one time for my kids. I said, here's who you want to marry. I'm not going to mess with you. I'm just going to write it on a 3x5 card. This is who you want to marry. Number one, you want to marry a grumbler and a complainer. Why? Well, you'll never have to do it. They'll do it for you all the time. You can just relax, drink some coffee, watch a soap opera. Just marry a thumbsucker, and they'll take care of all the grapping for you. Getting quiet. There'll be grumblers and complainers living only to satisfy their own desires. They will brag loudly about themselves, and they will flatter others to get what they want. This is a good list to somebody to pucker up to. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last days there would be scoffers whose purpose in life it is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts. They do not have God's spirit. But you, my dear friends, must do three things. You must build up yourself on your most holy faith. You must pray in the Holy Ghost. You must walk in the love of God. Now, what I did, I put together a whole list on these cards for my kids. And I did this scripture in Jude. I did 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I did Matthew 24 and Luke 17, where Jesus was always asked about the last days. Lord, what's it going to be like? Apostle Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. There's a long list of 22 kinds of people that he closes with this statement. From such people, stay away. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them water. If they're in prison, visit them. If they're sick, nurture them back to health, but do not spend spare time or even eat lunch with them. You will become like who you hang around. Then you go to Matthew 24 and they ask Jesus. He said, well, Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your return? What's it going to be like right before you come back? Well, there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes. Woo, kumbaya. Luke 17, they ask him again, well, what's going to be the sign of your return? Well, when I come back, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building and planting. Jesus said, it will be business as usual till the day I come to get you. The day Jesus comes back, nobody's going to be looking for him. World War III will not be going on. There will not be riots in the street. It's going to be business as usual. People going to work. Walmart will be packed. People will be at the lake. Somebody just got hired. Somebody just got fired. Somebody just got born. Somebody just died. It will be business as usual till Jesus comes. So I told my kids, shut your mouth up, quit griping, quit feeding on the world, and feed on the word of God. We are the salt and the light of this planet. We are problem solvers. Matthew 5:9, we shared at the marriage seminar, we are called to be problem solvers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. A child of God is a peacemaker. Now, the 60s ruined that word. A peacemaker is a problem solver. Jesus went from point A to point B every day fixing stuff that was broke. What are you going to do tomorrow, Jesus? I'm going to fix hell. What? Yeah, I'm going to fix hell. I'm going to put eyeballs back in their head that don't work, give them hands where they didn't have any. I'm going to raise dead people, fix sick people, feed hungry people. I'm going to fix hell every day I'm here. The things I do, shall you do also. Shut up, quit griping, go out and fix some hell. But I only deal with churches. I do about 80 seminars a year, and our TV program covers about a third of the earth. And I try to tell people, guys, this is the greatest day of human history. Had we been able to choose, we would have chosen to be born at this time. Yeah, there's hell going on. The devil's mad. He's about to lose his lease on this planet. He is throwing a fit. He steals, kills, and destroys, John 10:10. I mean, he's mad. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God of this planet. He said, where's God at? Well, he's in heaven. They're singing to him. There's a laser light show. The weather's really good. Gold streets, pearly gate, kumbaya. We're not there. People all the time talk about, well, Jesus is Lord, not over this planet. If Jesus is Lord over this planet, he's doing an incredibly sorry job. Now, I'm an engineer. I think real logical. Well, Jesus is Lord. Well, not over this planet. If he is, he's not very good. Because the hospitals are full, the orphanages are full, and there's wars everywhere, and people, there's famine and killing and dying and stealing. That. If he's Lord, where's he at? He's not here. Jesus is not allowed on this planet unless somebody asks him. That's why we come and pray. God said this. I know, Jesus said throughout the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. Why? I'm not allowed down there. That's why God told the devil in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from their job, evicted from their house. Their kids started killing each other. Hell came with sin. Sin's got death attached to it. Jesus came to redeem us from sin. But the thing is, God, he doesn't cheat. A man lost this planet. A man had to get it back. Thus, silent night, holy night, we three kings of Orion are. God said, I can't show up like Superman, take it back from the devil, and give it back to my Adam. A man lost it. A man will come and get it back. That's why God told the devil in the garden, one day I will come in the flesh and take this back. And so the devil thought, uh-oh. Because the devil's just a fallen angel. He's not God. But he's nasty. Now, you know, he's real pretty. You know, you ever read in Ezekiel 28, Lucifer is full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, charge of wealth, charge of music. Those are the four gifts he had. When he got fired from his job, he did not lose his gifts. So he uses that to attract people. All kinds of music. I remember we used to bust up rock and roll music because something bad in it. Yeah, bust it because it's got devils in it. Listen, the devil's in every kind of music, and God's in every kind of music. People just get so wacky about stuff. Listen, I've taken my kids to every kind of concert you can imagine. I mean, I go to classical stuff, we go to the opera once a year, we go to country music stuff, rocks and what. I want them to taste it. Just get in the middle of it, see what's going on here. I said, it's not just so much the tune. Now, listen, I'm real strict about music in my house. I love music, but I'm strict. If I can't whistle to it, we don't play it. Because if there's no rhythm or harmony, it's confusion. Confusion's of the devil. If I can't whistle, snap my fingers to it, shut it off.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.